Glenda. Good song tonight. Very good. Now, before we get into the lesson, I want to take just a minute and bring you up to date a little bit about where we are. And since Sunday, I know many of you are interested to know how things went. Things went very well. When I was not going to find out until Monday, I just thought, well, and I'll wait till Monday to find out. But I couldn't help it. I had to call Brother Don and find out what the commitment was. And I had given him three numbers. I said, if we had 15, we need 1,500 a week. I said, 2,500. Remember the slide we showed up here on that Sunday morning? 2,500, that would be the ultimate. And then 2,000 would be very, very helpful. And as it stands right now, we are at $10 shy of 2,200 a week. And 2,190. And I know another commitment coming in. A man called today and he said, do I have to get it settled by tonight? I said, no. And because he wants to do something, he said. So I know that commitment. We may have some others coming in. It was just a tremendous show of support. And I just was thoroughly blessed, and I appreciate it. And I think one of the good things that encouraged me about it, we didn't have a lot of numbers on the high end, which has encouraged me, because sometimes that's hard to keep that commitment at the high end. It was in that 20 to 40 range, 15 to 40 range, and a lot of giving units fell into that area. So we are looking at, if all the commitments come in, we're looking at a little over $9,000 a month, not counting the money we have budgeted in the general fund. That's the commitment money, $9,000 a month plus the $5,000 in the general fund. It gives us $14,000 a month, and we're not going to finance that much money. You understand that? But what that does, it gives us prepayment on the principal, folks. Now, because we're there, don't say, "Well, man, I wish I hadn't committed as much." We need it. This is a 30-year loan. Okay. Now, if we do what we ought to do, I think we can get it paid off in 20 or less. All right. So we need you to follow through on the commitment. It's critical that you market building when you give the offering. It's critical that you market building on the envelope. Please don't drop cash in. Please don't just put it in. You can write it all in one check, but most of you know how to do that. Divide that out. But we have a lot of new people. It's got to be marked building fund. We don't take general fund money and put it in the building. We don't take missions money and put it in the building. So it has to be designated. That part of the offering on Sunday or Wednesday, whenever it is, goes right to the building. And so we're in high gear. We met today, and you'll be thrilled to know that due to the suggestions, the suggestion of two fellows in the church, one on Saturday and one this Sunday night, and Dennis and I got our heads together, and Brother Don went up today, we have now redesigned the second floor. We have added two classrooms. So now we have 10 classrooms, and we've also added a storage area. We're not going to have that big open lobby look. It's going to be a small open lobby on the north end and no open lobby on the south end. All that area above has been converted to either classroom or storage space. So now we're looking at 10 nice classrooms. That's a net gain now of 6 instead of 4 classrooms. And we kept the windows. Not identically, but we kept the windows in both sides, north and south, and it may lower the cost a little bit. So the handrail is $35 a lineal foot, unpainted. That's how expensive that handrail is. And I don't know if you saw in the picture how much handrail. Caitlin Seaman, good to see you. God bless you. You're home from college. You weren't here Sunday. Good to see you. Glad you're home. That's a strong commitment to me. It just was. I think there was $100 a week commitment, and everybody else was just, there was, I think, maybe a 60. There might have been an 80. Brother Don knows. And everybody else is just right there. Boy, I'm telling you, it's very humbling to see the church respond that way. Amen. And it's very exciting at the same time. Now, we need to definitely pray. I talked to the glazing man in Iowa on Monday. He said, Brother Terry, I'm going to give you all the material at cost. Okay, at cost. That's all the windows. That's interior doors and frames, exterior doors and frames. It's all the partitions and grab bars and all the accessories, not the toilets in the bathrooms, but all the accessories in the bathrooms. Their company says, we'll give it to you at cost, and if I can do it, I'll just give it to you. Nothing. So that's on the maybe that's on the prayer list. Okay, so we need to pray there. He's been blessed out there. He's got a contract with the armory. If he gets that contract, he's going to make unbelievable money. So you need to pray that God blesses his business. Very good. Okay, and he would like to come out here if we can work it out with everything. He would like to come out here and install it for us. To bring his company, his fellows out and install it. So that's in the works, as well as talking to Brother Julio, who built this, about cabinets and stuff like that, that we'll be able to get at a considerably lower price, lower cost, if he's able to do that. So that's kind of the news since we met on Sunday. And as I said, maybe there's folks here tonight. We'll make these little cards available. If you did not get one of the cards, if you have not yet filled yours out, still praying about it, that's okay. If we could get it in the next week or two, it would sure be helpful, okay? So don't forget about that. Now, maybe since Sunday and you getting to see the, which, by the way, I regret that we didn't get, don't forget there's 52 parking spaces in this project, okay, which is helpful. But maybe you have another question. The questions we had last week were good questions. I don't want to get into silly stuff or insignificant. And maybe you don't know if it's insignificant. And, you know, so... And no suggestion is a bad, and I guess I'm not taking suggestions right now, legitimate questions, but, you know, somebody said, I hope I'm not bothering you with suggestions. It was two people in the church that had the idea about closing those open foyers up that we just took it to them, and they said, yes, let's do that. That works. So maybe since Sunday, what you saw Sunday morning, you have a question about the project or something you thought of since last Wednesday night. I'll take those quickly, and then we'll move right into the lesson. Anybody tonight? Anybody with a question about something? Brother Joe, how did I figure you'd have a question? Amen? Okay. No, it does not include a PA system. It does include the fire alarm security system. And we asked them to also include the security system for the doors, buzzers, for the south and the north and south doors to the school. So they'll be locked, and like we talked about before. So that cost is not in there, but we've asked them to include it. The things that are not covered are all the furnishings for the classrooms. Any furnishings in that building. That's teachers' desks, school desks, cabinets that teachers might need for storage. Those are called it's FF&E. Anybody know what that's? It's something furniture and I forget something else, but it's our expense. Okay? Does that answer your question? A PA system for the gym would not be included. It'll have to have one. Not a vinyl floor. We're going with the what's called Terraflex, or a similar product at this point in time. It's an expensive floor, but we're just not going to play on concrete anymore. So, okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir. We've talked about the joy of inviting anybody who wants to come and throw one of those old white tables in the dumpster. Some of you boys that were here in high school, you know, and you move those tables and set them up 40 billion times, we'll give you a sledgehammer and just have a party, a table-smashing party. But seriously, those are nice tables, but they are definitely monsters. So that's all in that furnishings cost. See what I'm saying? Brother Don's working on all that now. I asked him today. His plate is full. So I asked him today to try to put a ballpark figure there on desk, teacher's desk, what we're going to need. We have some general fund surplus money. I'd like to set that aside and just hang on to it for that. So without coming back to the church and asking for more. So that's where we are right now with that. Does that answer your question, Doyle? Somebody else? Good questions so far. Anybody else since Sunday? Anything on your mind? Okay. I'm sorry, Grace. Right off, as you come out of the gym, the kitchen will be right on your right. right there. The window will be right there for concessions and stuff like that at the ball game. And I told you we enlarged the kitchen. Did I tell you all that? We enlarged the kitchen, too. We got 2 more feet to the kitchen, so maybe more, 2.5 to 3 feet. So, but the kitchen, you come out of the multipurpose gym coming east, and the kitchen is right there on the right. Anybody else? Yes? I don't think so. I don't think so, Donna. I think it's all that it's all a steel panel. It's just the finish on the one is nicer than a plane. So the finish on the architectural panel looks like the back wall of our church building. Okay? That's what the finish looks like. So that's it breaks it up a little bit. Gives it a little depth and character rather than just a plain sheet of steel. But no, it's durability-wise, it's all in the metal. Standing seamless metal roof is the going thing. That's the best you can have. So, and it will last. So that's a blessing too. Anybody else? Try to keep you informed and answer your questions. It's exciting. It's also nerve-wracking, honestly. And we'll see what happens. So it could be a lot of that. We will not get a hard number from them until after the first of the year. So, we've got the application for financing. If when we need it, 2 or 3 places still looking at the best offers there, and then we take the final amount of money, and we got to make a decision. And when we get all that together, of course, we'll bring it back to you and let you know exactly what's happening. Okay? Try to keep everything on the table informed so you know what's going on with the project. But church, thank you. I couldn't sleep Monday night after I heard. You'll never believe. After I heard what happened, I got cold feet. And I stayed awake. I said, no, there's no way they committed $9,000 a month. Now we've got to move ahead. And so I just stayed awake all night just thinking about my mind was just so. But anyway, no, it was what a tremendous show of just your heart. What a tremendous show of your heart. And I appreciate it so much. And boy, God is good to us. He's very, very good to us. And I'm excited for our kids. I'm excited for them to have a new school building. Amen. And so that'll be a blessing. Moving ahead. All right. Let's ask the Lord's blessing now in our thoughts tonight, just shortly in the Word of God here. Thank you, dear Father, for Sunday's commitment. Thank you for the heart of these people. It humbles me. You know Sunday night. And I just pray, God, your blessings on us. Please, Lord, help us with the unforeseen things that we don't think of or can't see right now. God, just protect us as a church and give us great wisdom. And give us, Lord, I pray for this glazing contractor. If he could do that, dear Father, you know what a blessing that would be and a help. Anything you could do to move on the hearts of these people and provide for them so that they could do for us would be wonderful. And God, may it be all for your honor and glory. And may you bless our few thoughts tonight in the Word of God, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. A beginning of a friendship. We're back on the life of David. We haven't been there for several Wednesday nights, but I want to come back to the life of David. Only a boy named David. We've been on this for several Wednesday nights now. In chapter 18, you got the beginning of a tremendous friendship between David and Jonathan. You know it well. After David's conquest of the giant Goliath, a friendship was initiated between Jonathan and David. Now, this was not your average friendship. This was a deep brotherly love covenant relationship that proved true for years and years and years and years and years. And we'll see it later in 2 Samuel chapter 9, I think it is, when David sends the servant Ziba down to Mephibosheth, to Lodibar, and did it for Jonathan's sake, okay? So this is a friendship that carries on for years. And truth of the matter is, friend, you know, the very character and nature of Bible love knows no end. So if you truly love somebody, that never stops. Because that's the nature of Bible love. You don't have Bible love if all of a sudden you know, I don't love you anymore. But then you never loved them to begin with. Okay? Because Bible love doesn't end. It's endless, okay? That's one of the reasons that, you know, they give you that ring for a wedding band. And this is a deep brotherly love, covenant love relationship. that just lasted and lasted and lasted beyond Jonathan's lifetime. Good friendships play a vitally important role in a person's life. If you've been listening to the news at all, the sports end of things, you know about this Bears football player up here, Tank Johnson. And, you know, I don't know what I believe about all that. Don't know all the details, but I'll tell you what. When a guy is told to behave, and then 12 hours later he goes to a nightclub, I don't define that as behaving, amen. But anyway, his friend was killed in a nightclub, and you know, I read a story just briefly, just glancing through it. I didn't read it word for word, but it talked about how hard it is for some of these young men who come out of these unstable situations, and they have their friends, and it's hard for them to drop their friends. And I guess that was true in this guy's relationship with this man that was killed, you know, the other night in that nightclub. So friendships are vitally important. I remember Brother Brown in his message on Amnon had a friend, and I heard him preach it several times, and I heard him say over and over again, "You are right now, or you soon shall be what your friends are." I've warned about that. I've watched that happen. I've warned from the pulpit. I've warned personally in the conference room, and watched it happen. Watched it happen before my eyes. Transform because people got with other folks and transformed to being just like the people they became friends with. It happens, friend. You are right now. You soon shall be what your friends are. And by the way, you'll be the last to know it. You'll be the last to know it. Now you may be sitting there thinking right now, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You may be the last. You'll be the last to know it. Okay? Because you can't see it. You're too close to it to see it. But anyway, you got to watch friendships. It says a lot about both David and Jonathan's character that these two men became fast friends. So it says a lot about their character. Just a couple of thoughts tonight, time-wise, and then we'll be back here next week or the week after. And number one, these men were of like character and spirit. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 18. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. So their souls were knit together. The Bible says that after David had ended his conversation with Saul, remember he killed Goliath, and then Saul calls for him, and he has this conversation with Saul. And when that conversation ends, Jonathan evidently is standing nearby, Saul's son, and he overhears the conversation. And after the conversation David had with Saul, Jonathan's soul and David's soul, the Bible says, were knit together. It was both David's words, I believe, and his deeds that attracted Jonathan to him. David was very respectful of Jonathan's father. And even when he stepped in and did what King Saul should have been doing, King Saul should have been leading the way against Goliath, David had to, there was still respect there because of Saul's position. And I think that impressed Jonathan. And I think not only his words, but his deeds, David's deeds, were what attracted Jonathan to David, because their deeds were very similar. Think about it. David had just conquered the champion of the Philistines. And that was a mighty, mighty victory for any man, much less a young man like David, a shepherd boy with a sling and five rocks. But he's just accomplished that. Now, think with me. There was a day back in 1 Samuel 14 when a young Jonathan conquered another portion of the Philistine army. And the human chances, just like the human chances, David versus Goliath weren't very good. The human chances that Jonathan and his armor bearer taking on a garrison of the Philistines, the human chances of them coming out the victors were very slim. But that's exactly what happened. And you know that story and how God sent the earthquake and they started killing each other. And they went over there, Jonathan and his armor bearer, against 6,000 horsemen and 30,000 foot soldiers. And more, oh no, there were 6,000 chariots and 30,000 horsemen and more foot soldiers than you could number, and Jonathan and his armor bearer and one sword, one weapon, and God gave him the victory. Amen. And see, we serve a God like that, folks. And by the way, I don't want to get over in the arena of being stupid and careless and foolish in building, but we still serve the same God that gave Jonathan the victory in the Old Testament. We serve a miracle-working God. And we saw God work miracles last time for this building, and I trust and pray that He'll do it again this time. Amen. So here they are. Now, Jonathan trusted God, stepped out with great courage, and God gave the victory. Now, here he is. And for whatever reason, he's not engaged in this battle with Goliath. David is. So Jonathan watches David kill the giant, and that excited something in Jonathan's spirit. And soon these men were tremendous friends. It was David's words, it was David's actions, his deeds that attracted Jonathan. That there was a mutual interest in what they had accomplished for God. Now, I'll say this tonight. It is healthy when friendships are built on mutual interests in serving God or working for the cause of Christ. It's healthy. Brother, when your friendships are built primarily with on mutual interest in serving God, I'm not saying you can't have a friend who's unsaved. I consider myself a friend to my neighbors. I've said that to you before. But I'm not an intimate friend with those men. We are friendly, and we have a decent relationship. But, man, my intimate friendships are with people who are mutually interested in serving God or working for the cause of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, as a child of God, at any age, we always put this on the kids. But I'm going to tell you, adults need to watch their friendships as well. You got to watch your friendships because you are right now, or you soon shall be what your friends are. And that's true at any age. And the thing, when I was talking about earlier, watching people's lives transform because of becoming friends with certain, I'm not talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults that I've talked to over the 16 years I've been here and beyond that back in Iowa. So it's not just for teenagers here tonight. It is healthy when our friendships are built on mutual interest in serving God or working for the cause of Christ. And I think that's why in a church like this, there are some good friendships amongst the body of believers in this room, because there's a mutual interest in serving God and working for the cause of Christ amongst the people in this room. I do want to say to the young people tonight, be careful about allowing yourself to become infatuated with talent instead of character. Specifically sports. Be careful about that, men, young men especially, okay? Young men can be completely engulfed by infatuation for professional athletes. And that attraction is because of their physical abilities, fellas. That's, you know, and I don't go to seed being a nut. I can understand you being awed by someone's athletic ability. I'm still awed by some of the professional athletes' athletic ability. It's hard to deny that they're, man, some of them are tremendous athletes. And, I think back to the boys, the days of my boyhood in Georgia, and watching Hank Aaron hit all them home runs. Man, that guy was an athlete. Now, he played for years. He never hit more than about 45 or 47 home runs in a season, and still has the record today, doesn't he? Doesn't he have the most home run record? Yeah, he still does. He's a great athlete. So it is understandable to be awed by somebody's athletic ability. But fellas, you got to realize if you're not careful, that can lead to emulation. You're awed by the guy's ability to play basketball. You're awed by the guy's ability to play football or baseball. And you don't leave it at being awed at his athletic ability. Now you begin to emulate him. Now you begin to dress like him. You begin to wear the gear that they wear to act like them when you play a sport, you know, and so forth. But you end up emulating a person whose character is despicable. Despicable. Absolutely despicable. And the truth of the matter is, if you boys who grew up in Christian homes and raised up in this church, or new to this church, raised in a good home, if you were to spend 1 week with these spoiled millionaires, it would scare you to death. It'd scare you to death. If you went with them to the places they hang out, you would not enjoy it. You'd be calling your dad, "Get me out of here." They snort cocaine, they pack guns, it's riff-raff, it's gang-banging, it's all kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about just black athletes. I'm talking about all of them. And this is what happens. See, they're hoodlums, there's gangsters whose behavior is vile. Now, what you boys have to do, you've got to learn to appreciate their athletic ability or their prowess in their particular sport, but let your appreciation stop there. Boy, he's a good football player. He's a good basketball player. He's a good athlete, but that's as far as I'm going. You don't want yourself to start emulating how he behaves, how he acts, how he dresses, how he looks. Now, the sloppy look is coming from somewhere. I don't know if it's Hollywood or sports or what. And let me just meddle a little bit here. There's a difference between coming to church in casual clothes on Wednesday night and sloppy clothes on Wednesday night. And I'm not talking to any one of you men who walked off the job and in this room tonight. I know some of you are here. You walked off the job and in this room, or you're going to work as soon as you leave here. I am not talking about that. But some of you teenage boys, you do not dress casual. You dress sloppy. You're just sloppy. And there's no need in that to come to God's house sloppy. I don't mind you coming casual, but there's a difference in casual and sloppy. And I don't know where we're getting it. I don't know why are we bent that way. Why do we need to be bent that way? Well, then I see professional athletes, and they got all these wearing their blue, their pants down around their Joe Boy said it looked like a family of squirrels lived in their back end. A family of squirrels. Listen, Brian Urlacher is a tremendous athlete, and as a football player, he is tremendous. He fathered a baby. He out of wedlock. Boys, are you listening to me tonight? He has a son by a woman he's not married to. Now, why would I want to wear his football jersey around?
Hey!
He's a great football player, but evidently he's a whoremonger. But why do I want to wear his name on my back? Well, Pastor, you're just making a big deal. Am I really making a big deal about nothing? You think that's nothing? Iverson? We don't have anybody wearing sleeves on the basketball court. You know what that sleeve covers up? That sleeve covers up a racial epithet against white people. If a white guy had that, he couldn't even play in the league. Iverson gets a pass because he's black. And he wears that sleeve. Why would I want to wear a jersey with his name on my back? He's a good basketball player. He can bounce a ball and bug around, and really, I'll be honest with you, professional basketball has lost all interest for me. I don't care to watch it. I have no more interest in it whatsoever. I like baseball. I love baseball. The older I get, the slower the game is. I can identify with that, man. I'm not saying you. If the Bears win, that's exciting for Chicago. Yay! I was glad when the White Sox won. Amen. Wonderful. But I don't need their picture, and I don't need their football jersey, and I don't need their name on my back if they're whoremongers. I want to emulate those guys. There's a difference in appreciating their athletic ability and emulating them. Are you with me tonight, fellas? I'm just trying to, you're not always going to be 15. One of these days you're going to be 35, and you're going to look back and go, oh, man, why did I do that? So, yeah. If your deep interests are in living for God, then you'll be attracted to others who have a zeal for God. Now, you guys went to that activity, Brother Jason, and up to Chicago, and they ran into the Illinois basketball team. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Our kids and Dwight kids going into Joe's Tavern where were they going? Connie's Pizza. That's right. Going into Connie's Pizza, and while they were going into Connie's Pizza, here comes the Illinois basketball team. They had played at the United Center. They played at United Center, and they had gone downtown to the pizza place to eat. So here come all our kids in, and here comes the basket. And it's like, And I'm not against that. I probably would have done the same thing. Hey, there's that guy. I'm not saying I'm against that. Okay? Not against that at all. But you know what kind of bothered me? Can I meddle just a little bit? Dr. Wendell Evans sat here. You know, Dr. Wendell Evans preached in your chapel service, and not one of you boys went up there and signed your Bible.
Amen.
The only man I know who worked for Bob Jones Sr., Lee Robertson, and Jack Hiles. Did you hear what I said? He worked for Bob Jones Sr., Lee Robertson, and Jack Hiles. He's 71 next month and still serving God. And preached a great message, which I asked him to come preach in our church this next year. He is did a great job. And it disappointed me that none of you boys or girls in high school, I guess the girls maybe, but not so much, but none of the elementary kids do. But some of them would get Bozo to sign their Bible if he was here. Bozo. I don't know what verse he would use. Come on, Brother Nemeth, help me. You've got it. I know you're thinking. But I know sometimes you don't know what to say, and you don't know, you know. I know all that, but boy, you know, I just wish that some of you boys would have seen who you had here that day in chapel. And you did listen, and you paid attention, and you responded, and I'm happy with that. I don't mean you didn't. You showed a lot of respect. But, man, when a man of that caliber, you have an opportunity just to go up and shake his hand. I got to sit beside Lee Robertson. One of the greatest memories of my life was getting to sit by Dr. Lee Robertson in the front row at Mike Crane's camp, Fort Bluff, before a service where he was going to preach. And I didn't plan it that way. I just went to the front row, and he was the preacher. They brought him in. They sat him right beside, you know, right, because they probably thought, man, this dumb kid's here, you know. And they sat Lee Robertson there. And, you know, I just remember sitting there going, you know. And finally I leaned over and I just said, Brother Robertson, my name is Terry Angel. I got saved at Mike Hagee's boys' ranch. Oh, Brother Hagee. Brother Hagee went to Tennessee Temple. He's class chaplain for the senior class. So Brother Robertson knew him well. Oh, wonderful, wonderful son. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Robertson. Would you pray for me? God's called me to preach. Would you pray for me that God would help me? He put his hand on my knee. God bless this boy. I pray that you'll help him. Use him, I pray. In Jesus' name. Help him, Lord. Amen. That's it. One of the fondest memories of my life. You know, but I was drawn to that. I wanted to be near those men. You understand what I'm saying? And that's all. I'm not trying to be a nut. I'm not being ugly. If I'd have been in Chicago with you guys going to eat Connie's Pizza and I'd seen those ball players, I'd have shaken every one of their hands. Said, man, good to meet you. And it would have been fun. But let your infatuation be with their basketball or physical ability and let it end right there. He's a good basketball player, but that's not how I'm patterning my life. That makes sense to you all. That shouldn't be hard for you guys to swallow unless you're just cold to God. It shouldn't be hard for you to swallow unless you're just absolutely cold to God. Okay? So learn that. Let it end at that right there, okay? You know, you got to get like a Dr. Wendell Evans. He is light years. His character is light years of importance ahead of their talent. Not even a comparison. It's like comparing gold to sludge. You understand what I'm saying? Now the world doesn't see it that way, because the world pays the sludge. You know, the world pays $18 million to play. And you know, Dr. Evans is a poor man who got misguided with education and ended up using his education in a Bible college. That's how the world looks at it. But we don't look at things like the world looks at it.
Amen.
Amen. So, learn that, okay? Their spirit, Jonathan and David were attracted to each other because of their character and spirit were similar. And fellas, fan the flames of living for God in your heart and be attracted to men and women who have that same fire burning in their heart. You'll be glad you did. Okay? You'll be glad you did. Now, number two, and I'll, just a couple minutes and I'll be done. True friendship is completely unselfish. Look at the end of verse 1. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So Jonathan loved David as himself. Deep friendships are characterized by unselfishness. Now think this through with me. Nobody in Israel posed a greater threat to Jonathan's career than David did. You think with me on that? What was Jonathan's pending career? Well, he was in line to be the king. He was the king's son. He was in line to be the king. But David was the anointed king to be. Jonathan no doubt knew that, had heard that. And Jonathan was in line to be the king. And here he is. And boy, then David kills the giant. And it became clearer than ever to Jonathan that David is on the up and up. And he's going to sit on the throne. And he even admitted that to him later on in chapter 23. He said, you know, I can't. That's a whole other subject. His unbelievable statement Jonathan made to David. So it became clear that this man's going to sit on the throne. He's going to have what I was supposed to have. Yet Jonathan's friendship for David forced him to lay aside any jealousy or envy that could have developed in his heart. It is one thing to be able to rejoice for your friend. I thought about this today. It's one thing to be able to rejoice for your friend when they are prospering in an area that does not specifically involve you. But can we rejoice when our friends begin to prosper in something that specifically involves me and maybe even threatens to go beyond where I am? Can I be happy for them? Can I rejoice? Not be envious and jealous. That's true friendship can handle that. True friendship can say, man, you know what? I've been at this for a while. You're going to eclipse me and go beyond what I've done. Listen, I know that Brother Brown in Iowa has always been nothing but excited about what God has done here. And because of the difficulty they've been through the last 18 months, we're running more in church now than they are. There's not a hint of jealousy in that man. In fact, he has said, hey, Terry, come back and pastor the church and I'll be your assistant. I said, I don't think so. But I know pastors who have had assistants work for them and the assistants go out and the church gets larger than the church that they left. And the pastor becomes jealous. He becomes envious and jealous. That's sad, isn't it? You know, it's one thing if somebody's prospering in an area that doesn't specifically threaten me. But when it begins to threaten my little kingdom, true friendship says, you know what? I'm not going to get jealous. I'm not going to get envious. I'm going to be happy. When I went to Brother Ryan, when I went to your dad's anniversary service, the man was there who used to pastor in Aurora. And things kind of went south for him. But he was there for Brother Harrison's year anniversary with the biggest smile on his face and as happy as he could be that a new church and a new pastor were doing well in Aurora. That's character, isn't it? Now, Jonathan's unselfishness, and I've got to finish with this because this I love this. His unselfishness was illustrated in his gift to David. Look at verse number 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. That's a kingly robe. You with me? And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, let me say, if anybody's going to have the right kind of armor and the nicest this and the nicest that, it's going to be the king's family. So he takes it off. He's apparent to him, this is the heir to the throne. It's mine to have, but I'm not going to have it. He's going to take it. But I am not bothered by that, David. I love you as if you were me. Here is my robe. Here is my sword. Here is my armor. Here, we should have this. David's a peasant boy. He's a shepherd. He's a peasant boy. Now, in the East, to receive any part of the dress which had been worn by a sovereign was the highest honor that could be conferred on a subject. You with me? That's how that was. If a king wanted to honor a subject, the way he did it was by giving him part of his dress. Case in point. You got a minute? Just flip back to Esther. Esther chapter 6. Folks, flip ahead to Esther. Esther chapter 6. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And you remember when the king wanted to honor? Look at chapter 6 and verse number 6. You know, of course, Haman thinks it's him. So Haman came in, 6:6, chapter 6:6. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" Oh, man. He's eaten up, isn't he? And Haman answered, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal what? Apparel be brought which the king useth to wear." The stuff that's hanging in the closet that you don't wear anymore, king. "And the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head." Now watch that. The royal apparel, the royal robe, the horse and the crown. "And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback, and so forth and so on." And you know, so how is this sovereign going to honor this peasant? Clothes. His garments, his possessions. Give it to him. So that's what Jonathan did. "David, you're going to be the king." He didn't say that now, he will later. "David, you don't have a robe. David, you don't have a decent sword. David, you don't have a girdle. You don't have a bow. Here, I want to give you mine." And when he does that, he bestows unbelievable honor on David. Now, Jonathan's actions here become typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we wearing tonight? We're not wearing our apparel. We're wearing a what? A robe of righteousness. What are we going to ride someday? What are we going to ride someday? A horse. And what is he going to give us for faithfulness? A crown. Isn't that beautiful? Peasants, that's all we are. Jesus loves us so much. Loves us as much as Jonathan loved David, and Jonathan loved David as much as Jonathan loved himself. And Jesus says, "Here, peasant angel boy, you ain't got nothing. But you've come to me. Let me give you my robe. And I'm going to get you a horse. And I'm going to give you a crown." Who needs accolades down here? I don't need to work for the of men. If that's what I'm working for and get it, that's all I get. 10 seconds of clapping. I'd rather serve God wholeheartedly and faithfully. Someday receive a crown. The honor that God bestows, that the Lord bestows upon us, is incredible. And none of us deserve it. None of us. So he becomes a type of Jesus Christ here. Isaiah 61:10. We don't have time to get to it. It talks about the robe of righteousness and clothed in it. Jesus is King of Kings, and when we get saved, we're clothed in the robe of His righteousness, and the highest honor that could be conferred on us is to receive His robe and ride one of those horses and receive one of those crowns. And that's what Jonathan did for David here. Boy, that's unselfish, isn't it? Complete unselfishness. All right, let's stand, please. Thank you for listening. We are done. Dear Lord, take Your word tonight. Teach us. I pray for our youth. Lord, I trust that they did not interpret me as being, I'm not mad, I'm not angry. But Lord, I want so much good for them. And this sports thing can get so out of whack. Help them. Help us all to be sure we don't let our infatuation, our appreciation for somebody's athletic ability go beyond just that. And Lord, may we seek to emulate people of godly character and service of Christ. Lord, thank You for the honor that You bestowed upon us, giving us Your robe of righteousness, and the honor that You'll give us someday to ride one of those horses. And if we're faithful and win souls, the honor of a crown to wear. Oh, we're going to give it back. But Lord, the honor of it for us old peasants. What joy. Thank You so much for this story, for David and Jonathan, this whole part in the Bible here. God, burn it in our hearts tonight, I pray. And I'll thank You in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have the latest playlist.